You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Morning on a Tuesday that feels like a Monday. First day after Labor Day. Good morning to you. 12:20 on the East Coast. My thanks to Colonel Mary Reinwald for coming on and joining us in an hour that we call the Marine Corps Gazette Hour, although she is with the Leatherneck magazine. Joining me now from New Jersey, Joey Perrazzo. And he told me he's a major, not a lieutenant colonel. What the hell, man? Congratulations on the promotion, nonetheless.
Hey, Mac, thanks. I appreciate it. Super, super stoked to be on your show.
Well, first of all, thanks for doing this. I got a message from Kurt Knowles, retired lieutenant colonel type, F-18 guy. He goes, "Hey, man, you gotta talk to my friend." And I'm like, "Oh God, what? Like, who is it? What am I doing?" He goes, "No, man, he's doing awesome stuff." So that, in fact, proved to be the case. So, but he was fired up, and happy to have you on because, you know, Joey, we're in the same business. So, so I love that. So, first of all, let's find out about you. Born and raised where?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Northridge, California. So, kind of a small suburb north of Los Angeles, which if you know anything about the earthquake that happened back in the 90s, that kind of put us on the map.
Were you there then? Were you?
Oh, dude, yeah, I was there. It was the craziest experience I think I've ever had in my life. I mean, this thing was so powerful. And, of course, the earthquake hits, and I do the exact wrong thing and try to run down the stairs. And I can't even get to the stairs. That's how violently it was shaking in my house. So,
all right, so tell everybody, what were you supposed to do in a violent earthquake?
I don't know. I think they say, like, get under something or next to something, and I just stood up and ran like a dumbass. So
I think it's a door frame, something that's reinforced. You're supposed to, so that nothing can fall on you. Because if stuff falls, because the door frame is a supported wall, it probably is going to fall on you. So that's
pretty much. I didn't go anywhere near the door frame, but I did get pinned under this giant desk thing and wrote it out from there. So I guess I'll be okay.
All right. No, I had friends that were up there, and they said it was crazy. A friend said, "Look, I ran to my front door because I didn't know what happened." He said, "Look, my front door was deadbolted, and it was wide open. That's how violent that the ground shook. The deadbolt came out of the the hole that it's in, just by virtue of the way the house twisted, and the door was wide open." He said that gives you some indication. I was like, "Wow."
Oh yeah, we had one of our main walls in the house just buckled. I mean, the house was literally almost sitting on a slant. A quick true story: I had two buddies up there from Texas, never been to an earthquake. Right? We were young, 19-year-old Marines, and the only window that broke in the house was the one they punched out to get out. they punched out one of those big pane glass windows.
Nice.
One of them cut himself pretty bad on it, but that was the only injury and broken glass we had in the house.
Yeah, you're not supposed to punch it out. If you have to do that, you're supposed to throw something through it.
But, I know, right?
Yeah, I get it. Everybody learns in an earthquake. You're born and raised in Northridge. Where did you go to college?
Yeah. Originally joined the Marine Corps. I was 19, enlisted.
Nice.
So went to boot camp. Yeah, did boot camp and became a helicopter crew chief, 53 Echoes. So started off in aviation. And got accepted into one of their college commissioning programs, MESAP. I'm sure you've heard about it.
Yeah, of course.
Excuse me, went to USD
USD?
And, flight school and the rest of the
state. USD?
USD, absolutely.
As in Trojans?
Yeah, as in Trojans, SoCal.
Oh, I thought you said USD as in University of San Diego.
USD in LA, so it was kind of neat being in my own backyard to go to school.
I know, but there's such a just snooty bunch of spoiled brats. How does a helicopter relate to the aristocracy of America there? I mean, look, you've been around the world, right? When you go to school there?
Yeah.
So you're an enlisted Marine, so you've been in strip joints all over the planet, right?
But here's the deal, Matt.
You have a different path.
I was a little bit older and I had a paycheck. So the girls liked me.
So you were just...
I was 21, I could buy the beer.
So you were just reaping the benefits of being a shrewder, older man with some money in a sea of beautiful women, which there are at USC, no doubt. So how'd you meet your wife?
Oh, many years later.
Many years later?
After college, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I met her between deployments, actually. I mean, talk about luck, right? So, between 2005, 2007, two aircraft carrier deployments into the Middle East, and there she was. She came storming into my life, and it was great.
Really? Did she go for the whole fighter pilot thing? Did you lay that on her, or did you need to? Was she so enamored with you, you didn't have to do that?
No, I told her I was a plumber.
You guys never do that, okay? You know, for those of you who don't know this, there's this whole Bushido thing among fighter pilots, and, you know, you're not supposed to quote Top Gun, but they do it constantly. Okay, and there's this whole samurai thing around their culture. They love themselves like nobody else in the Marine Corps does, and so it's always very interesting to hear about their personal lives. So what did you study at USC?
I forgot. No, I was just kidding. I studied politics and history. I was a double major, and which is interesting because I thought I wanted to go into politics one day, but. Yeah, we'll see about that. Now, I don't really use my major, but I definitely use the aviation piece that the Marine Corps taught me.
All right, so you go back in, and did you know you wanted to be a pilot, or is, you know, when you went the whole MESAP thing?
Yeah, there's a little story behind that. So, you know, I grew up, believe it or not, kind of in the hills. So behind my house was a giant canyon with some dirt roads and a lot of brush back there. I literally grew up in camouflage, running around the hills, playing Marine. Right.
Right.
I wanted to go to the Devil Pup program, but my mom would never let me. So
why? Were there Marines in your family? What was you know, causing you to act in such a deviant way from the rest of the kids on the block?
I have no idea. I think I just like to be outdoors and play war, you know, just being a normal kid.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
It wasn't till later. I was at the USC Michigan Rose Bowl in 1990 with my dad. You know how you have those moments in life where it's like, call it whatever you want, a revelation, everything just becomes clear? Well, dude, it was the national anthem, last note, flyover, a flight of four, I think it was F-16s, I can't remember, flew over, and it's like flipping a switch in me that just, I looked up and I said, that's what I want to do. I actually looked over my dad and said, that's what I'm going to do, Dad. He said, okay, you should do that. So, yeah, that was kind of my start of my journey.
So why the Marine Corps, though? Those are F-16s. We don't fly those. This we know. So why the Marine Corps?
Yeah, the thing about that is I didn't originally start with the Marine Corps. I looked into the Navy and the Air Force. I was going to go to Embry-Riddle University, and I had a little bit of college money saved up and see if I could do the whatever ROTC program or that the Navy or Air Force had to offer.
Right.
Very expensive school, probably at the time $150,000 education, right?
Right?
So I was all set to go, and then my dad got sick, and he had cancer, and that kind of took, you know, not very good medical insurance, that kind of took up the majority of that cash.
Right.
So I said, you know what, I'm going to do this on my own. Started talking to a Marine recruiter. They told me about, hey, here's the MESAP program. You can do this. You can enlist and then go to school. When you get accepted into this program, become a pilot. I said, yeah, that sounds great.
Why the Marine Corps, man? Other services have those same programs, and you don't have to put up with the bullshit that you wanted to dress blue as winter. It was about the chicks, wasn't it? You and everybody.
Oh, totally. Once that Marine recruiter got a hold of me, it was all over. I mean, you know how these guys are. They're awesome. But, yeah, I knew, you know, deep down, like I said, running around the hills as a kid with...
So you want to be a grunt. Why didn't you become a grunt, man? Where'd this whole pilot thing come in, man? What's up with that?
I'll tell you what, man. When I went to TBS,
yeah,
it was... I almost dropped my air contract. I'm not going to lie. I loved just being in the field. on the ground and, you know, learning how to lead Marines. I didn't know my ass from a hole in the ground.
Right. But you would run around the hills of
Plus IOC.
Yeah, you would run around the hills and canyons of Northridge, man. You had the background.
Yeah. I did. But at the end, I missed my calling.
At the end of the day, unbelievable. All right, so you go back, you graduate from SC, you go back on active duty, and then how do you get F-18s? Did you have a preference? You're a 53 guy. Didn't you want to go back to 53s?
No, not really.
Why?
I kind of always had that moment stuck in my head about the
national anthem.
And I just knew that's what I wanted to do, so... I mean, I got my air contract when I was in college, and I just worked my butt off in flight school, basically sold my soul to finish number one all the way through, just tried as hard as I could to get, you know, the platform and the coast that I wanted. So, I was lucky.
I don't know about that, but all right, so you get the – so you fly F-18s. Tell me a couple people that had a huge influence on you as a Marine officer.
Sure. You know, all throughout my career, even before I became a pilot, there were some young lieutenants, captains in my squadron. And the first time I applied for MESEP was I was turned down. And, you know, I was young, I was a corporal. And I was looking at maybe even transitioning services. The Army had the warrant officer program. You could fly for them.
Right.
And then one day I got a little brown envelope with no name on it or anything like that in my little mailbox there at the squadron. And I opened it up. It was a set of gold. Pilot wings, Navy Marine Corps pilot wings, and with a little note in there that said, stays true to yourself, and it was just such a huge... I found out who it was later, and we're still good friends to this day. But, you know, little things like that, Marine, I just figured at the time that Marines care about each other, and that's kind of been the theme, if you will, throughout my career. And there's been quite a few others that I could keep going on.
It's amazing how powerful that stuff is, though, isn't it? I mean, you're looking around, and all of a sudden somebody says, essentially, hey, I believe in you, don't waver. And you're like, yeah, that's me.
Yeah, exactly. That's really, you feel it, you know it when you go to boot camp. You know, you form a bond, a camaraderie with these other guys in esprit de corps, pride in your unit. You're a team.
Right.
You know, just like any other team there is, whether you're in the infantry or a squadron, whatever the case is, you have pride in that unit. You have friendships, and you build these relationships with other people standing next to you. And it's even tougher, man. It's even tougher when you build those relationships, those friendships, and those you know, become brothers, and then all of a sudden one day they're not there. You know what I mean?
No,
those brothers is when it gets real.
What talk to me about as an officer, did you have other officers that had a huge impact on your leadership style?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, probably one of the best officers and really fighter pilots I've ever known is a guy by the name of John Spar. His call sign is Dukes. So you've seen the movie Top Gun, you know about the school, right? It's pretty much where the elite go to learn how to fly the plane and teach others.
Right.
He was a blue shirt, a light blue shirt instructor pilot from Top Gun. That's how good this guy was.
So if you're a light blue shirt instructor pilot, is that like good?
Oh yeah. I mean, you're not only the cream of the crop, you're the one that is teaching the best of the best, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're like Viper in Top Gun. he was that guy, okay? And I got the honor of serving with him in my first fleet unit, and what an amazing guy. So we knew about everybody knew about his skill in the airplane. Everyone knew what a great instructor he was, what a great fighter pilot he was. But when you got to know him as a person, what really stood out to me was two things. One, his kindness to other people, and number two, he would serve first as a leader. He was a servant leader. I mean, he would look you in the eye and say, what can I do for you? And you know when he was saying that, he meant it. So that's, you know, pretty much my inspiration for my leadership style and, you know, to what I'm doing to this day.
Wow.
Unfortunately, it's hard for me to talk about. In 2005, we lost him and my roommate, Kelly Hines, who was a young Marine pilot, on his first combat deployment over the skies of Iraq. It was a terrible, terrible night, terrible weather, and they launched off the carrier, and they got out of gas and got on the tanker they were supposed to get gas from, and the tanker wasn't configured properly for a Navy Marine Corps aircraft, because we have a different refueling system than the Air Force. And they were out of gas, searching for options everywhere they could go to land. Was just, the weather was just crushed with thunderstorms and dust storms, and unfortunately they collided and ran into each other. And the crazy part is they both survived the collision, and they ejected from their aircraft. Unfortunately, the weather was so bad that they were killed on impact with the ground due to the winds being so strong. Yeah. So, yeah. To this day, I try to emulate that man, that leadership style and that certain leadership that he taught me.
Well, let's talk about that. Where did this whole thing of Passion Warrior, where did this thing, how did it get into your head? Where did it come from?
Sure. You know, in 2005, that was a rough time. We lost, like I said, we lost our roommate, and John Spar was our XO. I mean, these were two very, very special people to me and to everybody in the squadron. We were crushed. 2 days later, Mac, we're back flying combat missions. How do you do that? How do you go from being absolutely, you know, crushed to mustering the courage and the spirit to go out and fly combat missions? Well, how you do it is you rely on each other as brothers in arms. You know, I know we got a tough job to do in combat, and it's all about relying on each other as brothers in arms, but it's also about the mission. You have to look forward. You have to be mission oriented. So fast forward 10 years later, and I knew that we get through tough times by relying on each other. And I'm seeing what's going on in this nation with tens of thousands of combat injured service members, Marines, soldiers, and whatnot, with over a million from these last, you know, decade or so, the last couple of wars that are somehow disabled, service disabled because of these wars. And I'm looking at what's going on with the VA. I'm looking at what's going on with our country and how we're kind of, I don't know, I, in my opinion, failing this community. I mean, we sent these guys to combat. We broke them. We're responsible for them when we get them back. Okay. And I knew that it's going to take each other. It's going to take us as veterans, us as service members, pick ourselves back up by the bootstraps, focus on that mission, and get well together.
It's crazy how a lot of us have come to that conclusion very separately in terms of not enough's being done, and then you look at the means, and you look at the people. You know, a lot of the people are, I don't know how to quantify this, because again, I know there's good people at the VA, but at the same time, I'm tired of the bullshit answers that we get from them. I'm tired of the stories that I read about like, yeah, but that's over here. Like, look, it's too much, okay?
Yeah.
You know, the nation wrote a check. And, you know, I love to quote Martin Luther King, his speech on his I Have a Dream speech. There's a part in his speech that says, and he uses the term Negro, he says, Negro is returning this check, you know, for non-sufficient funds on the Bank of Freedom. And, he goes to this beautiful, well, you know what, as a veteran, that's what I feel like we're doing. Hey, you wrote us checks, and those checks are bouncing, okay?
Yeah.
And, like, at some point, your announcements of new program after new program, I don't give a shit anymore, right?
Yep.
And I want it done yesterday, because I'm not going out, and the guys that I see and talk to all the time, we're not going out like bitches, okay? We need
exactly
what you said you'd do. Nothing more, nothing less. But what you said you'd do for these guys, and I have a good buddy who was on. He's a battalion commander of 28 in Afghanistan, battle buddy times two. He was the opso of 2nd Battalion, 4th Marine in Ramadi in 2004, Thunderdome, named Dave Harrell. He said, you know, Mac, the VA sent me to collections over a surgery I needed done on my back. He said, look, and I'm used to dealing with bureaucracies. I've got a cell phone. I've got a computer, and I'm dealing with them. What does a 90-year-old World War II vet do? What does a 23-year-old, you know, one term, you know, deployed three times, you know, 0311 do? You know what they do? They just say fuck, and then they quit. And guess what? That doesn't get reported. And so I'm with you, man, but it's amazing how many guys have gotten looked at it and, you know, which is your motivation for this whole thing, right? Hey, I can do something, and it's on us to help each other and get through this. And that's awesome. That's awesome. So how did you come up with this concept, Joey?
Yeah. No, I mean, excellent quote, by the way. I love it.
If you haven't listened to that speech, I should post it, but if you've never listened to the whole I Have a Dream speech, as well as the one where he says, I've been to the mountaintop and I may not get there, which is what the one he gives the night before he dies, find those in their entirety and listen to them, because let me tell you, that dude could give a speech, but the I Have a Dream speech, you know, where he not only talks about the check return for non-sufficient funds, but he also talks about his children being judged by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. He rips that speech a new ass, man. Honestly, he crushes it, as he does the speech in Memphis the night before he dies. But as an aside, go back and listen.
I need to go back and listen to that.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Where did the concept come from? Well, number one, like I said, the seed was planted when we lost our brothers and knew we had to rely on each other to get through it. Number two is I'm a guy. I mean, I know that I need to focus on something that I can be passionate about in life to keep me happy, entertained, whatever you want to call it. You know, VA has fancy terms for everything, right? Cognitive behavioral therapy, which is changing your behaviors, right? Going from whatever state of depression or what you're suffering from to changing those behaviors, getting out and doing things. It's a fancy way of saying, hey, go out and have some fun, right? So I started listening to story after story of these veterans that were wounded. I'm talking about, you know, veterans that are missing both legs, arms, hands, and what have you. And the theme is clear to me, is that number one, they have an alive day. They've accepted the day that they are born again in their new body, whatever that looks like. Okay, but number two is they define themselves by what they now are doing in life. One of them, for example, his name is Josh Elliott, very good friend of mine. That guy, you cannot wipe the smile off of his face, and he stepped on an IED in 2011 in Afghanistan, lost both his legs and part of his hand. I mean, like I said, you can't wipe the smile off his face now.
Wait a minute. Where's that guy? Where's Josh Elliott live?
He's here in San Diego with me. He lives in San Diego. He's now a Paralympic athlete.
Okay, did he go to USD? Is he a biology guy?
No.
Do you know
No, Josh.
Okay.
I met him far, long time after the Marine Corps.
No. University of San Diego. I met a guy, and he's got a beautiful wife. There was a picture of him in a lot of newspaper of them in a stream, and he's on her back. Do you ever see that?
Yeah, I think that was him. That might have been him. I'm not sure.
I think that is him. And I ran into him at the University of San Diego. I was taking somebody, and I hadn't been back there in years. So why I went there that day, I don't know. We're in the Basilica on campus, and he walks in, and he's standing in the foyer, the apse, I think they call it in church terminology. But anyway, and I walk around the corner, and here's this guy with, you know, young guy, good-looking guy with, you know, two prosthetic legs. So I just looked at him, as we do, right, Joey? Hey, man, where'd you get those?
Yeah.
Afghanistan?
Yeah, exactly.
And the person I was with went, they went, oh, no, you can't. I'm like, go away. You don't understand. This is part of our tribe. What province? Helmand. What year? 2010. Where? Because I was there in 2010. So he's telling me. And so now we just start talking business, right? You know, he's telling me about, that he's been medically discharged and he's in his second year at the University of San Diego and he's studying biology and he wants to be something, you know, I can't remember what he said he wanted to be. And then this this woman comes on the corner. I was like,
Wow.
Life's good, huh? And he started laughing. He said, yeah, life's good. Life's good. Wow. And so,
that sounds like Josh, man. I'll tell you what.
I'm not sure it was him or not, but you know what? It was an EOD guy, and I don't know if Josh is an EOD guy, but they're just great guys.
Josh is an EOD guy, yeah.
They're just great guys. And anyway, and their courage is crazy. Absolutely crazy. When you see the things they do and how they don't get discouraged, I'll tell you what, it's pretty humbling, in terms of like, look, and I'm full of brown, and what am I doing?
And again, these guys, you see the common thread, the common theme, is that they redefine themselves. They find something they're passionate about. Josh, for him, it's downhill skiing. He's mono skier on the Paralympic team. I get these other guys. Some of them just want to go back to school. I'm working with a couple of guys that are, you know, in the VA for addiction and dependency, and I got one of them into flying lessons now, and the other one's doing scuba diving and working with me in the organization. So for me, it was all about helping these guys reconnect with their passion, with what they wanted to do, what they were passionate about. And how do you do that? How do we do that? We share what we're passionate about. For me, that's flying, right? So I literally went out and bought a little sport aerobatic airplane, and I take these guys up on the average of a couple times a week in and around the skies of San Diego, fly them around. And like I said, if it leads to something they want to continue with flying lessons, then we'll arrange for that. And if they just did it for a good time, hey, I'm okay with that too. If I'm putting a smile on their face, then that's a good day.
So let me ask you, my guest this morning is Joey Palazzo, and an F-18 pilot. And is this what you're doing full time now, Joe? I got an email question for you, Mac. Listening to it. I love these stories and how we're doing stuff for each other. I agree with you. The VA has its issues, and we can't wait around for them. And it's great to see guys like Joey taking the bull by the horns and creating opportunities. Good on him. Can you tell us how we find him on Facebook or the internet? So, Joey, how do people find you?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a website. It's warriorpassion.org. And then I've got a Facebook page as well. You can just search for Warrior Passion, and it'll come right up. I'll just throw my email out there, too. It's joe@warriorpassion.org. Spelled just like it sounds, Warrior Passion. And they can reach out to me if they'd like to get involved. We're a 501c3 nonprofit, so tax-deductible contributions, of course. We take all of our funding is organic. Okay? I don't have any corporate sponsorships or anything like that. It's all from individuals, other Marines, family members that want to reach out and help in some way. So you can donate on both the Facebook page and on the website. Like I said, 100% tax-deductible. Contributions, 501c3.
All right. The hey, Joe, another email.
Yep.
Mac, awesome interview this morning with Joe. I have a question for him. Joe, I've heard Mac talk about purpose-driven life and the need for passion in your life relative to choosing a profession. You extended this. I'm curious about your thoughts. So, Joe, we talk about, you know, it's a different group of cats that go towards the sound of guns, right?
Yeah.
They live purpose-driven lives for the most part. I talk about, you know, you really need to think about what you love and what you want to do, because when you're just going to a job and your mind's not occupied, I think as a combat veteran, your mind's not engaged in all of it. You're working, yeah, but it isn't, you know, it's not what you love. It's not your passion. And so your mind tends to go, you know, when it's not engaged, it goes to other places, which for a lot of guys is not a good thing. So I talk about, that's not something I knew before I started doing this program. But now I think it is really important that combat veterans do something that they're passionate about, and so that their brain can be absorbed in it on a daily basis, because that keeps you from going other places. And it's to me, it's part of living a better life and getting back to a lot of the things that you used to be. You've extended this. So give me your thoughts on purpose-driven life. Are combat veterans different? Are these things more important for us post-combat in terms of mental health? Talk to me about all that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. There's a few things there that we can kind of unpack. Number one is, hey, when we leave the military and our unit and we hang up our uniform or we trade in our uniform for that set of civilian clothes, everything that goes along with that uniform just doesn't disappear, okay? All the pride that we felt, the brotherhood, being a part of the team, something bigger than yourself, it's all still there. So it's kind of a challenge to get back to where you were, and now mix in the fact that maybe our bodies aren't what they used to be, or our brains, our emotional health is not what it used to be. It can be quite a challenging road. It's a long road. Okay, so what I tell guys is, hey, you know what? Be patient. Give it some time. And Mac, you and I talked about this. Let's kind of explore this and unpack this with a little bit of patience. But I think taking that first step is also important, okay? Whatever that is for you, whatever that first step is. I tell guys, if you're on the couch, hey, get off the couch. That's step number one, right? Step number two, find somebody, an organization, a hobby, something that you're interested in, and reach out. Okay? And my organization is one. There's many others that are out there, especially popping up all over San Diego. And then number three, like I said, give it some time, give it some patience. There's some bigger things going on here, in your brain that you're probably not 100% in touch with. And that's okay. Okay. It takes time. It takes changing behaviors over time, before something sticks. But absolutely, I mean, you want to try to find that purpose to drive you in life. You want to find that passion to drive you in life. But hey, take some baby steps. Take the first step, which is whatever it is for you. Like I said, get off the couch, reach out, and find somebody that can help you do that. But just know, guys, everyone out there that's listening, that hey, your brothers in arms that are out there, they're suffering with you. They care. They care about you. I care about you, and that's what we want you to know.
My guest this morning, Joey Peraza, Major. Wow, now I got to bust you. Major United States Marine Corps, former F-18 pilot, and he's the founder of an organization called Warrior Passion. And let me just tell you, the more I do this, the more we undersell that, because it's not easy to put your life back together for a lot of guys. And so when you start out with a job that you go to that doesn't make you happy, hello, you're going to spend 8 hours or more a day doing that shit? It's not going to work. It's going to make you unhappier. And if it's a catalyst to unhappiness, our catalysts are bigger because of what's rolling around in our heads. And so, I'm fortunate. I get up to a job every morning that I love. But I didn't know what I was going to do. And I started goofing around with this, and pretty soon, after some smart guys helped me, we had a business plan. And so I agree with you, Joey. Take your time. Talk to smart people. But I'll tell you what, and I had the guy, they're now sponsors of ours, Military by Owner, his name's Dave Grant. He said, look, if you're paying your bills and you're doing something that you enjoy, you're in the front row, man. You're in the front row. You don't need to knock it out of the park. You need to be able to pay your bills, and maybe you have to get a part-time job in addition to doing this. But if you want to be a guide and outfitter, if you want to, be a parasailing instructor, if you want to be a baseball card collector, if that's what floats your boat, if you want to be a guide to playing Marine Corps in the canyons of Northridge, right? Get after it.
Yeah.
Get after it. Talk to smart people, because people make businesses out of this, and if you talk to smart people, you'll figure it out. You'll figure it out.
Yeah,
it might evolve to something else. But it'll be something that you're passionate about. And the important part about that is happiness. If you're doing something that makes you happy, if you're paying your bills, then guess who else is probably happy? Your wife. And if you two are happy, guess who else is happy? Your kids. Guess what that means? You're living a good life.
Yep.
And that's what the lessons we've learned is to come home. There are guys who didn't come home with us, and we know that. And what we owe them is we owe them to live better lives. And these things are all part, and what Joey's doing is a huge part of igniting that again in somebody. And the story, in fact, Joey and I were talking about it on, I think, Friday or Thursday when we spoke, was Charlie Linville, who went to the top of Mount Everest, why he did that. And yeah. what it did for him, it was a transformational experience. And that's what you're in the business of, Joey. And I can't tell you how cool I think it is. Now, can I come down and find you someplace, or are you at a different spot all the time? Tell me how you guys work this.
Yeah, no, of course. I'm in San Diego. You can absolutely come on down. And we've got a bunch of really cool events coming up here in San Diego, but we are going to be spreading out from state to state to state. I'm starting to work with people up in Northern California now, some in the South in Texas and whatnot. But our base of operations is definitely down here in San Diego. Real big and quite a large and strong veteran community here in and around the San Diego area. You can imagine it's very, very populated with military bases. And, of course, everyone loves to stay here because of the weather and all the things to do. So yeah. I've got a pretty big veteran community here in San Diego. But
now,
like
how
I said, we need to get this type of thing spread.
How will you spread it?
Yeah. So not only do I obviously try to reach out to veterans that want to get involved or find their passion, if you will, but I'm always looking for volunteers. Okay. The idea is that mentorship. So like I said, Josh, I have him go to a lot of my events, not because he needs it, but because he really is an inspiring person, a mentor. He can be a mentor to quite a few other people. And those are the type of people that I'm looking for to build these kind of little networks in their area and spread it around. So it's all about vets helping vets.
All right, so will they be – so if there's somebody listening to this that has their own, thrill seeker, whether it be rock climbing or whatever,
yes,
and they'd like to be a part of what you're doing – would they contact you and do it under the umbrella of Warrior Passion, or how does it work?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's a perfect point. If you've got something you're passionate about, you want to share, whatever that is, scuba diving, rock climbing, sailing, reach out to me, please reach out to me, and we'll get something set up. It would be obviously under the umbrella of Warrior Passion, 501c3. And we would talk about helping get that up and running with funding and all that good stuff through the organization. So, yeah, if somebody does have something they want to share, I get requests all the time, and we're starting to really work on growing here. They can reach out to me directly via the Warrior Passion website or my email.
How cool is it when you guys are doing this stuff? Do they have to tether you to the ground?
Yeah, it is so neat. I mean, last week and a half ago, we went paragliding, took a group of guys out, and it was just one of the coolest experiences I think these guys have ever had, but definitely I've ever had. I didn't know it was going to be that incredible. It's something that I actually found I love doing. So, yeah, we're just having a good time with it. And like I said, at the end of the day, if I could put some smiles on some of these veterans' faces that deserve it, then mission accomplished.
All right, got an email for you, Mac.
Yep.
I'm listening, and I certainly have friends that would be interested. Is there any kind of physical requirement that they have to be up to? Is there any kind of mental health form that has to be signed? So we're talking about guys I know that have been damaged in the war, and they're at varying spots relative to their recovery. Is there any kind of requirement relative to where they're at before they can get involved in this?
You know, I don't have any requirements. Currently, I work with wounded veterans. I work with some guys with some pretty severe PTSD. As a matter of fact, I've gone to inpatient facilities and pulled them out via permission of their counselors and taken them for the day and had tremendous results. with these guys, and they stay in touch with me to this day.
Wow.
So, no, I don't have any physical requirements. I'll give you another example, scuba diving. Okay, we do scuba diving qualifications out here in San Diego.
Right.
The guy, we can work with any level of ability. So even paraplegics and quadriplegics. We're handicapped scuba trained, so we can take that level, disability level down, you know, to the bottom of the ocean floor and get them qualified to whatever ability they have.
Hey,
so.
Now, Joey, let me just ask you that relative to scuba diving. You know, a lot of those guys have had traumatic brain injuries, and, you know, a lot of them, though, have recovered from them, but, you know, multiple concussions and things like that. Do you have to do anything relative to that to take them down?
You have to assess what their ability level is first and foremost, and then you go from there. So if it's, you know, if it's three other handicap qualified buddies taking them down, then that's what it is. That's their ability level. So each case by case basis. The Handicap Scuba Association that we work with has been doing this since the 1970s, and they're definitely good at what they do. They know what they're doing, and like I said, we're certified through them. So. Each is a case-by-case basis.
Okay. All right. All right. What else do you want to talk about that I haven't been smart enough to ask you about relative to Warrior Passion?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I haven't really thought too much about it. I guess I was trying to reflect on what we're doing and also with what you're doing with All Marine Radio and, you know, how powerful it is to find something you're passionate about. I mean, Mac, what you're doing with the station, with the show, is just it's amazing, and it's going to grow because that passion is going to take it to the next level, and that's what I'm experiencing now with this organization as well. I don't do it full time; I do it part time. That's going to change. I know that's going to change. So there's absolutely a need for it out there in the United States, in our society. And like I said, taking that first step and just getting involved is, with whatever it is the way to begin giving back and making a difference, okay? I appreciate all of the awareness movements that are going on, like the 22 push-ups a day on Facebook and that type of thing. Hey, let's take it to the next level. How do I actually step forward and get involved and do something about making the situation a little bit better every day? So that's all I wanted to say is that they take that first step.
All right. And again, where do people, if people want to participate, whether it be donate money or maybe they have something that is in Southern California that they want to maybe list with you guys, how do they get a hold of you again, Joy?
Yeah. Either way, I'd love to hear about what you do, and if you want to get involved, you can go to my website again at warriorpassion.org. And or you can email me. It's joe@warriorpassion.org, and my Facebook page, just do a search for Warrior Passion. A lot of good stuff on there as well. You can make donations through both the Facebook page and the website, 100% tax deductible. We are a 501c3. And if you want to get involved, email me, and let's see if we can work something out.
All right. What's the coolest thing you've seen since you started doing this?
The coolest thing I've seen, wow, working again with my double amputees, I flew a guy out from Salt Lake City, Utah, named Tyler Burdick, double amputee who lost his legs in Afghanistan. And, you know, so those things that he used to love to do, he's starting to get back into them, snowboarding and whatnot. But we took him.
Dude, I can't.
In Mission Bay, have you seen these things?
I can't snowboard on like my normal legs. Like, I don't get how these guys do it on like prosthetic legs. It's like crazy.
Exactly. Yeah, they just get good at it. You know, they throw themselves into it. But yeah, I took Tyler flying in the plane and put him on one of those jet packs in Mission Bay. Those water jet packs.
Right.
And it was just cool to see him flying around on. on that jetpack. I can't wait to do it. I got another event set up next week for a bunch of guys on that jetpack. So, yeah.
How does that? That's like
making some good network.
The old like thing at Disneyland, man. That's to me what that reminds me. That it's like, but that guy, that like half the time that thing went sideways, and you never, you know, that guy went rocketeer through the cornfield and stuff. How do you make sure that doesn't happen?
Yeah, I think it's connected to a jet ski, and there's like a safety swimmer and
oh, really?
Like that, so.
Yeah,
yeah, there's a picture. I got a picture of it. I got to put a video up. There's a picture of it on my website. If you go to my website, you can check it out. I'm right there on the front page.
It doesn't work out well for the Rocketeer, man. He wears a lot of bugs, and he's got a lot of bad stuff going on.
Kind of like Iron Man, too. Same thing, right?
Exactly. When the jetpack goes sideways, that's not a good thing. All right, Joey, first of all, thanks for coming on this morning. And if you don't have a problem with it, I'd love to have you come back again. And let me tell you, whenever you guys are doing something cool or you want to hop on, just hit me on Facebook or my cell or whatever, and feel free, man, take over. I love what you're doing, and whatever we can do to help you, we're all about. So thanks for the time this morning, and like I said, I hope you don't mind if I call you back and bring you back on, as well as
absolutely,
don't be afraid to let me know what you guys are doing, and we'll blast it out and get it out to everybody. But good on you, man. And I'm you and I share this same kind of a bond in that look. We look around and we look at all the pain, and we've seen the sacrifice up close and personal.
Yeah.
What it's like, and then I'll tell you what, for these guys, it's never going away. Right, the pain is never going away. So the question is, what do we have to do to close ranks, to help, to do what we've always done in terms of trying to make it a little bit better and for our brothers? And I love what you're doing, man. And like I said, come back anytime you want to. And I'm gonna bug you in the future, but good on you and your wife. And you have kids?
Yeah, two little ones.
Nice. How old?
Yeah, 7-year-old boy and a 4-year-old girl.
Oh, so you got one of each, so you're done. And
yeah.
Son's got to be a pilot, right? No doubt about that.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. He definitely loves flying with me. I take him up all the time. So.
Oh, really?
Maybe a legacy here. We'll see.
Lies. All right, Joey. First of all, again, appreciate the visit, and all the best of luck to you, and thanks for doing this morning.
Yeah, thanks, Mac. Love your show. And just to leave your audience with one more thought, hey, just know that there are people out there that care about you. Okay? Cheers. Semper Fidelis.
There he is. Not from New Jersey, man. You hear that name, it's like, dude, that guy's got to be from Jersey. Joey, P-O-R-R-A-Z-Z-O. Right? You got the Chester.
You got it.
I saw the Fu Manchu. You got the Chester going and the horn. Are you driving the IROC? How do you roll, Joey? Is that too stereotypical?
I got a little bit of facial hair, but I usually whack it down when it starts to get itchy, so I don't go too crazy with the beard or anything like that.
You don't have the Purazzo. But you don't, what kind of car are you driving?
I've got a GMC Acadia, like a little SUV.
You don't have a IROC with sunroof or T tops or something like that? Nothing like that. Nothing that ethnic?
Some gold chains, little grease in my hair. No, that's the
come on.
I do have Italian family in Rivia, Massachusetts that might roll like that. But
talk to me about Joey. You're kind of old to be called Joey. Is it something you just can't shake? What's up with that?
Yeah, I've never been able to kind of get rid of the Y. I don't know. I've tried for years, and all my friends and family, you know, they call me Joey. I introduce myself as Joe, but like I said, the Y seems to kind of stick.
Nice. All right, well, as I said, good on you, man. Loved having you on, and we'll talk again down the road, bud.
All right, thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
All right, there you have it. You know what? I love it. It's why I love this program, to tell those stories, because he's doing good stuff, and all we're doing is help him get the message out. But the other cool thing about All Marine Radio is, you know, I met Joey last week, and so you see these things happening all over the country as veterans, you know, stand up for other veterans, and if you ask Joey, he's not doing anything other than what he thinks is his responsibility to guys who are the most courageous and selfless guys that any of us have ever seen. So, again, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the Gunner joins us here on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio. Feels like a Monday. More of that next on the All Warrior Radio Network.